And I was there for just over a year before that whole company just basically started folding because of the market. Everything dropped. Like all the recession. They had a lot of real estate work at the time, and that was keeping them afloat. And then so that just tanked, and so they were just letting people go right and left. So when it was my turn to be let go, I had some stuff on the side already. I had kept Otis as a client, and then I had a book I was doing for another photographer, and I had some other stuff. And so I was just like, you know what? I'm not even going to look for a job. And I haven't looked for a job since 2007.
Welcome to the Passion Behind the Arts show. It's all about diving in with individuals to learn the story behind their passion. It's your host, Daryl Pinker.
Well, it's another awesome week, another great guest, and another opportunity for me to bring you value through someone else's story. But before we jump into that, I'm just so excited that episode 100 is coming up, and it's going to be amazing. If you know about episode 50, I did a 9-hour live stream with about 12 guests, and I'm pretty sure I'm going to do something similar to that again. So to learn more, go to passionbehindthearts.com/100. That's passionbehindthearts.com/100, episode 100. It's coming, and I'm so excited about it. Remember, subscribe, leave a review on iTunes. We are on Spotify, we are on TuneIn Radio, we are on Apple Podcasts, we are on Stitcher. That's passionbehindthearts.com to learn about everything that we are doing and what's going on with the podcast and what's the next moves. So without further ado, let's jump into this week's episode. Well, I am excited to have Mark Canesso on the Passion Behind the Art show. Did I just destroy it?
No, you did it right. Oh.
Cool. Great. Mark, welcome to the show, man.
Thanks. Thank you for having me on.
Awesome. All right, so let's jump right into it. How did this creative journey start for you?
For me, like design in general, I was taking just like community college design courses. I'd gone down a path like way, way back. I don't know if you know how old I am or how old you think I am, but I'm 39. So I'll be 40 this year.
Nice.
So way back when, I was taking like computer programming classes, and I wasn't necessarily all that into it. And then my brother and I decided to take an intro to some kind of like Adobe programs and stuff. And so we took those together, and we actually both really liked it. And then the instructor at the time, who was at the community college, he was teaching a design course as well. Like he kind of was over all the digital courses. And so we're like, oh, Paul's cool. Like, let's just take some more of his classes. And it just kind of snowballed from there. Like, went from that community college to Otis College of Art and Design. Mm-hmm. That's where I got my degree in communication arts. And just kind of been going since then.
So before this, taking the classes at the community college, before computer programming, like, did you see yourself going down this road? Were you like an art kid or any stuff like that when you were younger?
I was always in my own little world, like, you know, playing and stuff like that. I did draw quite a bit, but I never thought of like, oh, art's the way to go, you know, right, kind of thing. Right. I played a lot of sports when I was younger. So that kind of occupied our time. Mm-hmm. My mom is very athletic. She was the one who was, always taking us to games and, you know, getting us to get in other stuff, probably just to get us out of the house. Right. You know? like, go play, go, you have another sport, you have another soccer game, go play baseball, you know? So yeah, I was kind of into all that. And I took some art classes in high school, like I took ceramics and just kind of like that stuff. I never like painting and things like that. I never was like super into it. So until I got into like, saw that design could be a career as well. Mm. That was kind of like, hey, you can do the creative stuff, but it's still a job, you know?
Nice. Nice. So what was your favorite sport?
I went through all the phases. So I played soccer and baseball for the most part. Both like into high school as well. Mm-hmm. I was on our varsity soccer team when I was a freshman and
nice,
but I wasn't because I was all that great. It was because our team stuck that bad and no one wanted to play. So I was this little scrawny guy playing against like seniors who were huge. And, so I just got pushed around, but I did end up picking up like a roller hockey, and then that kind of took over. Like I didn't want to play baseball or soccer anymore. I just wanted to play hockey, and then that kind of just fizzled away.
Are you into sports now, just in general?
I watch the UFC. That's like the most sports thing that I do. I don't. I couldn't tell you much of any sport player, anything. Yeah. Basketball, no, I don't.
That's funny.
I like watching them. I like watching it. Like I can totally watch it and I can have a conversation with someone about it.
Right.
But
right.
Like if I was to just be like, oh, I'm gonna go sit down and watch this game, that's not gonna happen.
right. That's funny. Cause you know, just like as a kid growing up, if you're a sports kid and then you kind of just it literally just kind of phased out of you then.
Yeah, yeah. I mean I used to watch baseball all the time. Like I watched every game that came on. I would sit there and it was like studying it because I was like, oh, I'm going to be a baseball player or something like that. So I got to like learn all this stuff. And I just would watch it and I'd spend, you know, hours. Baseball games are so long. Like, I'm not going to spend 6 hours watching a game today, you know? But back then I was all about it. So
yeah. What was your favorite baseball team?
I actually was an Atlanta Braves fan.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Dude, I thought you were going to say you're a Yankees fan. I don't be like,
no.
So how Atlanta Braves, that's strange. Did you,
I think it was like, I liked for some reason, cause I also collect a lot of sport baseball cards and stuff, mm-hmm. but I think I liked, I think Dave Justice was mm-hmm. like the guy who like introduced me to the team. And then I was like really into like just that their pitching staff was awesome. And right, but they right, weren't right, like, yeah. they weren't like these superstar players, but they were just like, as a team at the time, they were just really good. So,
okay. What position did you play? Were you a pitcher?
No, I pitched before, but I wasn't good at pitching. I was like second base, shortstop. And then I really enjoyed actually playing, like center or left field. Hmm. I just felt really comfortable out there getting to like run down balls and stuff.
Nice. So,
but as I got older, I didn't develop the strength needed to throw somebody out at the plate. So,
oh, that's funny. So now let's fast forward. You went through community college, you found this love for design, went and got your degree. Like, did you like jump right out and like got your dream job? Like, how did the transition from school to professional?
Jumping back to community college, the instructor, he's a friend of mine now. His name is Paul Payment. He's an artist and he was a designer, and he ran the gallery at Cypress. And so he always needed posters done for the events. So I got to do a lot of those, and which was cool because it's like getting something, having actual real job. I don't think I got paid to do them, but it was like having a job, getting something printed, made, seeing it like exist in the world. That was really cool. So when I applied to go to school, I already had things that were actually printed. Like I could make a catalog for the show.
Nice.
They had some posters and things like that. So it really helped like with the portfolio early on.
Nice.
And actually I designed a book with him for his art.
Wow.
That, that won, Communication Arts Award.
Nice.
So that was like before, before I had even gone to art school, I was like, I got an award for design I did, you know.
You walk up into school and say, I got a book on it.
So that was cool. But that, like, that kind of stuff, I feel like I've just taken advantage of those opportunities that have come about. Because even while I was going, when I was at Otis, I was doing all my work and I was working hard in the lab and stuff. And there was a girl who had been working with the communications director to design stuff for the school. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know her, but she came up to me and she was like, hey, I see you in here all the time working and I see the stuff you're doing is good. And she was a senior and she was going to leave. So she's like, I was been tasked to find someone to replace me.
Wow.
So she introduced me to the communications director and we hit it off. And I was designing stuff for the school while I was going there.
Wow.
Which was cool. That was cool. Again, it was just one of those, like, I'm not going to focus on my schoolwork because I'm doing like real projects.
Real work.
Yeah, real work. And so that was great. And I was again, doing real projects while doing schoolwork. And then I had an instructor, his name is Greg Lindy. And I had his class in my senior year and I approached him after class and I was just like, hey, if you ever have extra, cause he had his own little studio. And, I was like, if you ever need help, like, let me know. And he was like, well, wouldn't necessarily be fair to the other students if I gave you work or had you come in, but like, thank you. So I was like, okay, cool. But then next week in class, after class, he's like, you still interested in helping out? And I was like, yeah. So I was working with him while going to school as well. And then after I graduated, I just kind of transitioned to a full-time position there. Mm. So, and we did a lot of, he's a type designer as well.
Okay.
And so that's kind of where I got a glimpse of like, hey, you can do type design on your own. You know, it doesn't take like a huge crew. And we were doing a lot of branding work. And, so yeah, I learned a lot just being in there day to day. And then when I left there, it was in like 2007, we had moved from, my wife and I currently, we had bought a place that was like, I was living in like Cerritos, which was probably when I was driving into Venice to work. And that was taking like an hour and a half to get to work and maybe 2 hours to get home sometimes. Mm. And we moved farther away from where I was working. And so I was like, okay, I gotta figure out a different job situation because it's just too much driving, you know? And I had already been doing it all the time through school. And then just to add more time to the drive was like, okay, this isn't gonna work. So I ended up finding another agency that was closer to where I was. And I was there for just over a year before that whole company just basically started folding because of the market, everything dropped. Recession. Like, the recession, they had a lot of real estate work at the time and that was keeping them afloat. And then, so that just tanked. And so they were just letting people go right and left. So when it was my turn to be let go, I had some stuff on the side already. I kept Otis as a client. And then I had a book I was doing for another photographer and I had some other stuff. And so I was just like, you know what? I'm not even going to look for a job. And I haven't looked for a job since 2007. So,
wow. That's what's up. But it's crazy how, like, I'm pretty sure, I won't say, I don't know, maybe someone already asked the teacher, like, in the past, but it's crazy how you asked him, and he basically, which makes sense what he said, like, it would look kind of weird for him to be giving you work, and there's other students, but then the next day, it gives you an opportunity anyways, which kind of catapults your career big time.
Yeah, I think they had a... they just had a bunch of work come in, and because I had asked, he was like, and you know, he had other students that had transitioned into working with him. Mm-hmm. Like a few. And, I guess it was just my turn.
Nice.
He's like, well, try this person out. So, it worked out. And, but since then I've never driven into a off office.
So how which is nice. So you were somewhat kind of forced to kind of just, okay, I probably am no longer going to have a job. I'm just not going to look for a job anymore. I'm just going to kind of do my own thing. Like, how did that, like, what did you do? Like, how did you go about getting more work? Like, how did all of that in the beginning stage?
At the beginning, it was, and I was kind of just keeping, I was trying to keep projects going that I had going. Mm-hmm. And then it was just, I mean, for the longest and still even to this day, it's just, you know, word of mouth referrals that, I mean, back then I had somewhat kind of a website, but most of it was just like, hey, this person did this thing for me. And now can you do this, that same thing for me? Kind of, you know, I did a lot of book design early on with like some photographers. And
I was saying, just listening to your story, I noticed that you did a few books.
Yeah, yeah. So I've done a few photography books. I did an art book. I did a book for it was a group of photographers. They created the world's largest photograph. They turned an airplane or an airport hangar into a camera obscura, basically a black pinhole camera, and developed the world's largest photograph. And it got like in the Guinness Book of World Record, like largest photograph. So we did a whole book on not just the photograph, but like the process of making it, which was, you know, like eight guys who were butting heads about every single small detail, you know. But it was a fun project to do. And that was the project I had when I knew it was going to take a long time. And that was the project that was like, okay, I have this going on. Like, let me just focus on this and then we'll see whatever comes later. So, and I knew I was also designing type at the time for myself. And so I was like, all right. And when I'm slow or when I don't have things to do, I'll just focus on creating more typefaces. So
was this teacher your big influence on like getting into lettering and stuff like that?
So I would say, yeah, I had two instructors at Otis that were, I came at it from, so I've always like, okay, I'm a graphic designer who also does type.
Right.
Who also does type design. And for the longest time, I didn't draw lettering at all. I did almost all my type design straight in the computer. Mm. Like I would, you know, early typefaces, I would just be like cutting and pasting like different shapes together.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah, I wouldn't say that they were in like, I had, so that for type design, I had those two instructors, but for lettering, it was a way to kind of rejuvenate what I was doing for my type design because I felt like I was just drawing the same thing over and over.
Gotcha.
Because I was like, all right, I'm going to get off the computer and I'm going to do stuff more by hand. And it was just, it was a little bit freeing to do that. Mm-hmm. And then, so I kind of gone down this path of like, with a lot of lettering, it's just, there's a hope to influence my type design.
Gotcha. So. But the cool thing about it is that you went the opposite. Most of the times, it usually a letter turns into a type designer. Most of the times they kind of start with lettering and then eventually they go into design and type.
Yeah.
But you did the opposite. You started with type design and then went into lettering, which I think is kind of better because you've already had like the whole fundamentals of just type and transfer it into a digital, you know what I mean? And then getting it on paper, you kind of understand like why it's set up like that.
Yeah. And I tend to, even my doodles sometimes are pretty rough, I know that it's getting the idea down and I can do what I need to do in the computer. So I still do rely a lot on, you know, on the computer.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Just to speed things up. Sometimes it's like, I don't want to draw an N and a U. I'm going to just draw the N and then I'm going to flip it over. And now I have my U. Kind of thing, you know.
So there's one question I want to ask you, because there's something that you created which I thought was pretty cool, and I just wanted to kind of pick your brain. How did you even think to come up with that when you came up with the pencil skin for the iPad? Yes. Like,
so this actually, the idea, so I went to Adobe Max in 2017. Mm-hmm. I was part of, so because my type is all on what was Typekit, but is now Adobe Fonts. So I'm like a font partner. And so I was in the Typekit booth, mm-hmm. at Adobe Max. And so I had my little table there, and I actually met this guy, Victor. Do you know Victor from Orlando? I think Davila. I didn't say his last name.
Maybe if I see his work, you know how it is.
Yeah. Yeah. Davila is his last name. Anyways, he gave me a sticker, and it was a pencil. I think it was like a pencil and a heart or something like that, like, okay, combined. Anyways, I had that pencil or that sticker, and I had just gotten the iPad and the iPad pencil. And I took it and I cut his sticker up and I just kind of stuck it on the edge of my thing. And I was like, hey, that kind of looks like a pencil if I wrap it around this. And so I was like, oh, let me make a sticker that looks like an actual pencil. So that I took that idea and just, you know, I measured the pencil, figured out the radius of like making it wrap properly. And I was like, okay, now how do I make this? I just printed one at home at first and just wrapped it and taped it on. And I was like, yeah, it kind of looks cool. So at the time, Sticker Mule, I don't know if you know, you can do like 10 stickers.
Right, right.
Like, you can do like sample stickers. Yeah, so yeah, I was like, yeah. I just created this as a sample, and then I wrapped the pencil, and then I just took some pictures of it and I was showing it off. And people were like, oh, that's rad. Like, can I get one of those? Or like, how do I get one of those? And I was like, well, let me order some more samples. And so, but the sample thing was really cool for me because I didn't want to order. I wasn't sure how people were going to react to them, but I didn't order like hundreds of them, you know, but having 10 of them is cool. Cause I could be like, limited edition. And so now I have there's actually my box of them. So I have, you know, all my Crayola ones, I have different colors of those.
Nice.
And then, yeah. So anytime I have an idea, I'll just be like, oh, I'm going to make one and try it out. But the new pencil, I'm not sure if they work very well on the new pencil. I've heard they don't stick because of the new material. Mm. And then also the shape is a little different. So I don't think it feels the same or it wraps the same.
Gotcha.
So I gave, do you know Ryan Hamrick?
Yes.
He's here in Austin as well. So I sent him some and he's going to test it for me. He said he's going to wrap it and see if it works. Okay, and if not, I need to get a pencil and figure out how to make more wraps because I want to make more, but I don't want to continue making them if they're not going to work on the pencil. So.
Cool, cool. Well, I just thought it was a cool idea. I was just wondering, like, what made him, like, I always think of, like, how people come up with certain ideas, you know, but it's cool to kind of hear how you came up with it.
Yeah. And to me, it's like, I met somebody. We had talked a little bit, and then he gave me something, and from that thing, I was like, "Hey, this might work on something else."
Nice. Yeah, I mean, I went to Ryan's workshop when he was here in Georgia.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I
think was that on his tour?
Yeah. So, what would you say was the hardest struggle you had to overcome through your journey?
Hardest struggle. This, I don't know. This is a tough one.
Hey, Marcus, been that easy for you, man?
I know. I don't know what everybody's always crying about. It's so easy. I guess mostly I think it's hard for me because I try not to focus on those things. I mean, I've had like, you know, lots of ups and downs, and I think back about it now, and I even still to this day, like I still stress about getting the next project.
Right.
You know, you take on too much, and then you don't have time for it, and then so you're doing like worse work than you think, and then you have no work, and so you're like, I have no work, and now you're stressed about that. So there's like, right, I try to find that balance, which is why type design has helped me, because a lot of times if I have no work from outside, I can like easily focus on a thing for myself, you know, right, even stuff like the pencil wraps. It's like, it's one of those things where like it gives me a place to focus my attention if I don't have other stuff going on. And then it's easily put aside if something does come through.
Right.
And also it's one of those projects where you can like, it's always nice to finish stuff. So it's a thing where you can like, oh, I can make this, I can be done with it, produce it, and then I can move on to the next thing.
Right. Which is a big deal for us.
Yeah.
Sometimes these passion projects, sometimes they just linger forever.
Yeah. I mean, we always seem to be our worst critic of ourselves. So it is like, you know, I spent a lot of time, I made these cups recently. I don't know if you saw my cup. And yeah, I got to the point where I was almost done. And then I was like, I'm not sending this art off. Like, this is not, who's going to buy this? Why am I making this? Like, this is the stupidest idea, you know? I went through and I did it. And now I'm going to move on to the next thing. You know?
Right. So. Nice. So who would you say is your support system? Who are the people that's in your, you know, kind of keep you going, keep you motivated? Who's in your support crew?
Definitely my wife. She's the biggest. I mean, she takes care of us. You know, it's like she gives me so much time to focus on these things because she handles so much.
Right.
She's the constant person that like was always lifting me up for all the things I do. And she's great. So she's definitely like, my mom is a huge supporter of my work as well.
Love you, moms.
Yeah, love mom. And then just, I mean, other people, there's friends I've made along the way, like, I mean, just through Instagram, meeting people. Right. We've been moving around a lot. So it has been like my original crew of friends and stuff. We left because we moved from California in 2014. We moved to Hawaii.
Wow.
And then, we sold our place. We sold all of our stuff and we just moved to Hawaii. And then we were there for a year and a half and we moved to Portland. And we didn't know anybody in Hawaii. And we didn't know anybody in Portland, Oregon. We moved to Oregon. And then now we're in Austin, Texas. So we've just been kind of bouncing around. So it's been good that we've just been like injecting ourselves into, you know, new communities. But so it's like at our age too, people's groups are kind of set sometimes. So right. it is hard to make those new strong connections.
Right.
But it's been good. I mean, it's been a good experience, and this is not our last stop either. We're probably going to be moving, I would say, in the next year and a half, maybe, just to try something new. We're just moving around. So,
let me know when you get to the Southeast, man.
So we're going to be going in March to North Carolina.
Okay.
And then we're going to drive down to Savannah from there. Nice. We're going to look in that area as like possibly could be our next move. We don't know. We've never been to the area. So it's one of those like, could we live here? I don't know. Right, we'll go see. And if we think we can, we'll just figure it out from there.
Nice. It's cool. I've been to Savannah once. About an hour and a half, 2 hours from where I live at.
And you're just outside of Atlanta?
Yeah, I'm just outside of Atlanta. So what is the first hour of Mark's day like?
So even though I've worked from home for, you know, however many years, 15 years, I still get up, I take a shower, and I get ready like I'm going to go to work. So that is, for me, that's key. Like, I'm not going to like sit around in my underwear and like feeling all grimy and stuff. Like, no, I get up, I shower, I go downstairs, make a tea or something to drink, you know. I usually will sketch or something, but like, currently I have to make sure our squirrels are fed. So I go down there, and if they're out there, I'll give them some peanuts while I'm making my tea. And most of that first hour is just kind of just waking up and getting going. Nothing extreme. I used to go run, but.
Right. It didn't last.
Yeah. I I probably should do something like that in the morning. Because if I'm going to do it, it's going to be in the morning. Like I don't like stopping in the middle of the day. Or
right, right. I'm right there with you.
Yeah, at the end of the day, I'm just like, I'm tired, so I don't want to do it.
Yeah, yeah, I'm right there with you.
If I could get it, going, it would be in the morning.
Nice.
But currently, not happening.
So is this like the neighborhood squirrels or your personal squirrels?
No, they're just random.
Because I'm like, we're going to feed by squirrels. I'm like, wow, it's pretty impressive.
No, that's why I have to check to see if they're there. You know, if they're not there, then I don't have to do anything. But if they're there, I give them some nuts.
Okay.
No, yeah, we just in Oregon we had a tree that was out back that had these squirrels that lived in it, and so we started trying to feed them, and then they realized we were going to give them food, so they would start coming to our door. Well, here in Austin, we back a little greenscape, and so we've had all kinds of animals that come through, and the squirrels they are now basically knocking on the door like, where's my food?
Expected you for to bring their food.
Yeah. So Jenna, just the other day, the one would jump up onto the screen, like it literally was like on the screen, like trying to get my attention because I had my head down and I was drawing, and I just hear a boom on the door.
Wow.
I look up and it's just spread out.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah,
they're expecting you now. It's an expectation. Yeah. Wow,
I'm pretty sure they. Yeah, they trained me. I didn't train them. They trained me.
So, what is that item that you can't do without? That's not your phone.
It would be the sketchbook. Nice. A little pencil and sketchbook. I have one on me at all times. Pretty much, like I carry a pocket sketchbook everywhere. It's just so many ideas, things come to me when I'm not sitting in front of the computer now. Mm-hmm. So it's just good to have that little, I will, write that thing down or whatever. So I think that's probably it.
Book recommendations.
I have, pulled this one out specifically. So this is called Dutch Type.
Got it.
They just re-released it. It was out of print. This is one of the original prints. It is amazing book on the history of Dutch typographers and it's a great resource. You should check it out. And the price has dropped now that the new edition is out because they were like going for like $95 and I don't think they're that much anymore. So,
well, just by looking at it, I figured it would have been like, it looks like a hefty. You know what I mean? It looks like it has a lot of value in there.
Yeah, it's good stuff. I need to open it up more, actually. I have a lot of books that are just sitting back there, it's just kind of like through osmosis. I kind of look back at them and, yeah, okay, I got it.
Oh, that's funny. So what's next? What's next for Mark? What's next for Mark?
I'm keeping going. I think I'm just going to, I plan to just keep making type, keep on keeping on. Yeah. We are doing, Bob and I are doing a workshop at Thrive.
Nice.
In March. So, we might try to do some more of those. We did one last year at Creative Works, together. Mm-hmm. And so we might try and do a couple more. He wants to come to Austin. So he's trying to he's like, oh, like have a do a workshop in Austin. So he has a reason to come.
He has a reason. Hey.
And, but yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't tend to make long, like we will move again probably relatively soon. So there will be a move involved. I am turning 40. So, we got life insurance.
Oh gosh. Oh, that's funny. Where can people go to learn about what you're doing? Where can people go to learn about what you're doing?
I have a couple websites. I have my Type Foundry website is PS Type Lab, and my design and lettering website is Paperwork Studio without the vowels and paper, but PPRWRK Studio.com. And then, yeah, a lot of times, I mean, Instagram has been a huge way to connect with people.
Right.
So you can pretty much catch what I'm doing on there.
Nice.
I try to post there regularly. Yeah, that's my avenues, I would say.
Cool.
I have a Twitter, but I don't use it much, so.
Yeah, I mean, Twitter is just, I think it's, for me, it's like seasons. There's like a time when I'm using it, and then there's a time when I probably don't even look at it.
Yeah.
I think for everybody right now, I think Instagram, for the most part, has gotten everybody's attention. That's the truth. Well, dude, I mean, it was pretty cool kind of hearing a lot of your backstory and just kind of hearing some of the different things and just the perfect life that you've had. I mean, I'm just joking, man.
It's all so easy. Yeah. That was my biggest struggle. My biggest struggle is this ego. When it gets
pop. That was funny, though, when you was like, you know, I don't know why everybody's crying. It's so easy. Oh, dude, I mean, I'll let you go, but, man, this has been great. Great talking to you, man.
Yeah. Thanks for having me on.
For sure.
Appreciate it.
Let's
stay connected, for sure, outside
definitely,
of this.
Definitely. Thank you for listening to this week's episode. I hope it's been super valuable to you and you're now ready to take your audience building, your community growing to the next level to help you and help me build our empire, for lack of a better word, or just to build our thing. Remember to stop by iTunes, Passion Behind the Art, and leave a review and subscribe. It's very important to me. It helps the podcast grow, and it makes me feel good to kind of hear from you guys, to know what you like about this podcast, what it's done for you. So jump on iTunes and subscribe and leave a review. Passion Behind the Art. Be blessed.